I'm Brett Hayworth, and welcome to What's a Frequency, our weekly show on Siouxland Public Media. The guests on this What's a Frequency are officials with two community-run single-screen theaters, which operate much differently from chain theaters that many people might know when they attend bigger cities like Sioux City or Omaha. There was a time when all kinds of area towns like Mobile, Kingsley, and Anthem had movie theaters, but most died out in the 1970s as bigger plexes in larger towns came to the fore. This show is focused on a handful of single-screen theaters in towns with populations of 2,000 or less, some of which are community-run by a stable of volunteers. Those that are community-run with lots of donated labor are in Holstein, Ida Grove, Lake City, and there's also some other movie theaters in smaller towns that are still family-owned, such as in Sibley and Ottawa. For this What's a Frequency show on the few movie theaters in smaller towns in Northwest Iowa, I am speaking with Doug Clough of the King Theater in Ida Grove and Brady Meyer of the State Theater in Holstein, which are actually about a dozen miles from each other, something like that.
Yep, that's correct. Just about 12.
Yeah. Thank you both for being here.
And thanks for having
no
us.
No problem.
Yeah. Thank you, Brady. And just to begin, what are your titles with each of the movie theaters? What's your role?
I'm the manager.
Okay.
The only paid position. Everyone else is a volunteer. And I know Ida Grove kind of diversified their positions a little bit more than we have. I do a lot of the day-to-day, set up the movie, get the ice, get all of the candy set up. It's all me instead of divvying it between a bunch of people. We don't have the people that want to do it.
Right. And for you, Brady, in Holstein, how many years have you been doing this?
Since 2023.
Okay. So about 3 years now. Yeah, getting there. Okay.
It started off, Alyssa was like, okay, I'd like to get you to do this because she had a baby on the way. She's like, I don't want to do this anymore. And so she was training me for about 2 years of getting everything, setting it all up. Mm-hmm. And it's been a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that she did that for me. It's a great opportunity for a job, and I love it. I love the people. And getting to pick the movies is a lot more fun than just like, oh, well, the movie's there.
That would be one of the best things that I would like to do. So, and Doug, for you and Ida Grove at King Theater?
Yeah, I'm the manager at the King Theater. I've been for the last, it'll be our fourth year I'm entering into where I was manager. Prior to me was Alyssa Dreesen, also involved with the Holstein Theater. She got us up and running. Again, when she wanted to start a family, it was time to do a little transition. So I'd been involved with the theater since the beginning of the renovation. We renovated the King in 2017 is when we started. Bought it a little earlier than that, but Alyssa had been with us in developing the theater, and I took over managing in 2022 roughly as well. So like Brady had mentioned, we're a little different model, business model. I'm a volunteer manager. We have four paid folks. Three of those are operational assistants that work the movies. And then the fourth one is our projectionist. We've been following that model for quite a little while. I'm not sure how the longevity on that model, if after I'm done, that'll continue to hold. It seems to work for us right now. My role pretty much is I work with our movie buyer. We do have a movie buyer that schedules our movies. I get to see that list about 7 weeks out, and often when I look at the fifth or sixth or seventh week out, I have conversations with him about what I'd like to not do. For instance, we had three R-rated movies in a row. Nothing wrong with R-rated movies as long as they're good quality movies. But we wanted to throw in an animated flick somewhere in the middle so we could appeal to our family base. And so I have those conversations with him. It's like Brady had mentioned in his role, I'll make sure the ice is ready for the week. I'll make sure we've got enough candy, popcorn's bought, the buttery toppings bought. If we have complaints, we had a switch on the buttery topping one time and people didn't like that at all. So I have to manage that transition. Don't change the buttery topping. You can do a lot of things, but don't change that.
Meanwhile, they loved it at our theater. I'm like, this is strange. Yes. They didn't like it down there, but they like it here.
Right. So you have to really pay attention to your clientele. Yeah. You have to stop in and visit with people and see what they have to say. So, my role is pretty much just to make sure that we are operating week to week in a way that takes care of our guests. Mm-hmm. So, and I have a little different role in the sense that our programs is a slight bit different than Holstein's. When we renovated the theater, we decided to make a stage. So we do have live events. We have a four-event live season.
Right.
And so I work with selecting content with our live event subcommittee. So that's just the only different thing, I think, from what Brady's situation is.
Hey, we're catching up. Mm-hmm. Our backstage is getting fixed up.
That's awesome. See, and that's the kind of thing you need in small-town Iowa, is some diversity in a theater. And we're very fortunate to have that.
Yeah, so you're wanting to mix up the offerings from not just movies, but four times per year that you have these musical performances.
Right. Okay. You know, at least for us, I don't think we could survive on current movies alone. It's tough to do that. To do that, I think we'd have to have an average attendance of 50 per show, mm-hmm. and we only show movies three times a week. And so we rely on things like our Free Movie Mondays, where we have $200 sponsors that we've been very happy with that program. So roughly during the winter, early spring, every Monday we have a free movie that is funded by sponsors that find that movie really, you know, favorable for them for any reason. Like this next Monday, we have American Sniper. It's done in memory of a family member. Mm-hmm. And again, it's $200. It helps to pay the licensing fee. It helps to pay our payroll and keep us a little more solvent. The live events, we have sponsors that support those as well. And so our sponsors basically pay for the entertainment, and we're able to take all the money off of ticket sales and put that into programming again. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, it really does help to have that kind of diversity with your programming. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, to survive just on current movies is pretty difficult.
And the voice you're hearing is Doug Clough. He's with the King Theater in Ida Grove. And I want to make sure I put a finer point on this. So you said there are four paid people at, you're one of the four paid people in at the Ida Grove, but you do have a series of volunteers that take care of concessions and things like that, and ticket taking, is that right?
Yeah. We have what are called operational assistants. And what those folks do is that more than likely they're running the cash register, and they're also working with the other volunteers who help to serve people when they come in for the movie during the rush. Also, those volunteers will hang around afterwards to help clean. So essentially, we have one paid person on during the shift, and then we have two volunteers minimum, sometimes more if it's a big movie. When we were showing Twisters over three weekends, we had 600 people show up for those movies. So having three volunteers was really important, because it looked like, frankly, the popcorn machine blew up in the theater, because you get that kind of people. And, you know, when people spill popcorn, that's what they do in mm-hmm. theaters, right? And so we try to prepare for those eventualities so we can stay with a nice, clean theater per show. So, again, then we also have a paid projectionist. Mm-hmm. And her role is to make sure that all the movies and keys are ingested mm-hmm. into the theater, because everything comes in wirelessly for us. And she also does all the scheduling, and she'll do things like she does all the marketing on Facebook and the website, and mm-hmm. then she does the voicemail message. So she gets paid the same amount as the operational assistant. So we have four paid people, three people that work the shows, one person that's projectionist, and then I'm an unpaid volunteer manager.
Mm-hmm. And then how do people sign up for the people who are volunteer for both of your theaters in Holstein and Ida Grove? And could you do it with the volunteer help that you get?
We couldn't do it without the volunteer help.
Could you make it financially, I guess is what I'm saying.
Oh, make it financially.
Yeah.
I think we could make it financially, but we wouldn't have as clean of a theater or as great as a guest experience.
Okay.
Because I could have one person in there running their tail off to make sure everything gets done.
Right.
But I don't think it would be as nice of an experience for our guests. Okay. So that's the reason that volunteers are so important.
Okay. What is your stable of volunteers, would you say? How many people are you drawing from?
Well, we've got about, I would say, at least two dozen adult volunteers.
Okay.
But you know how it is. It's like being in a small church in a small town. The same five people do a lot of work, you know. But we do have a nice rotating group of volunteers.
Okay.
We're very happy with that. We also do have a scholarship situation with our students.
Yeah.
So OABCIG students can come in and volunteer, and they can get up to a $1,000 scholarship over a four-year period. But, you know, so we certainly are really happy with our students. And again, we have a small core group that works at the theater. And this last year, for instance, we gave away, I think it was nearly $2,500 in scholarships. Mm-hmm. And again, these are kids that work from their freshman to their senior year. So that helps as well.
Okay. And then as we transition from you, and again, that voice you just heard there is Doug Clough. He's with the King Theater in Ida Grove, Iowa. And now let's go to Brady. What is your stable of volunteers? What do people tell you why they are willing to do this?
There's about maybe a dozen. We don't have as many down in Holstein. A lot of them will be our board comes in and volunteers quite a bit. And then there's actually a mom and son that are doing it now from River Valley, so he can get Silver Cord hours. So they're coming in maybe once or twice a month.
What did you say? What hours did you say?
Silver Cord. It's is that just for graduation? You get a cord for volunteering.
Oh, Silver Cord.
Yeah.
C-O-R-D. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. I couldn't. Yeah.
Don't worry.
Okay.
I was also confused when people first talked about it. I'm like, I never had this.
Okay.
But we don't really have as many as I would like. I take over a lot sometimes, just because if I'm there, I'll be okay. It's, especially when I know it's a smaller movie, it should be okay to not have as many people with me.
Yeah.
And everyone's busy, especially this time of year, getting everything.
Yeah. Why do people tell you that they're willing to do that for no pay?
It helps the community and it helps people actually get out and do something.
Yeah.
Because there's not many opportunities like this around the area, and we want to stay open.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to help us stay afloat and keep going as long as we can.
Thank you, Brady.
Yeah.
And we'll be back for more on What's the Frequency here in just a few seconds. For this What's the Frequency show on a few movie theaters in smaller towns in Northwest Iowa, I'm speaking with Doug Clough of the King Theater in Ida Grove and Brady Meyer of the State Theater in Holstein. Both have a good degree of volunteer labor at them. Not quite so much at Ida Grove, where there are a few paid people, but I love theaters. So I have been fascinated. I first became fascinated, I don't know, I just started paying attention as an adult in the mid to late 90s. I've always loved the concept of mom and pop smaller theaters, and I've gone to quite a few, and I just want to give my experiences, and I'll ask you guys for your experiences. But the first community one that I knew was in Grundy Center, Iowa, when I was at the University of Northern Iowa in the mid-90s, and it was about 25 miles away from Cedar Falls. So, you know, Cedar Falls has a couple of big plexes there that you could go to, but it was community run, and the tickets were $1 at that point 30 years ago. And it was worth a 25-minute drive. We just liked doing it just for a change of pace to go somewhere different. And I also had been at, I like the Max Theater up in Sibley. They also they're actually, to this point, they're still business owned by a family and not community labor. But they had a thing that I'll never forget. We were there. This is like 1998. And they have a promotion where if you bring in a bowl, a plastic bowl, your Tupperware or whatever, it doesn't matter. They will fill it up with popcorn for like on a certain night of the week for like a dollar. So my takeaway is that there maybe have unique marketing or just trying things to keep people coming to the theater. So anyway, I've always been very intrigued by that. And I have been to both of your theaters. I was just coincidentally Sunday, I saw Nuremberg at Holstein and talked to Brady that day. I've been to the state, or I'm sorry, the King and Ida Grove quite a bit, and I have to connect the dots back to your popcorn mention, Doug, that you changed the topping of. So I used to get when my grandma was alive in Anthon, Iowa, for Christmas, once a person gets to a certain age, there's not much you can get them, so it's all like gift cards, like experiences. So I would buy every Christmas movie passes to go to, and she would drive from Anthon to Ida Grove. And she loved it, and this is the story that she told, and I took her at her word that they had real butter on their popcorn at that point in the late 90s. So I don't know. I know you were in Ida Grove in that time, so I don't know if you can confirm that or...
I remember the machine.
Okay.
and it was heated up like a lot of the hot buttery popcorn, right? But it did have that look, that glaze of regular butter to it.
Okay.
Like they did melt it.
Yeah.
Now, I can't confirm it. I wasn't managing it at the time. But the way that they stirred it up and they would pump that out of that machine, it did look like real butter to me.
Okay.
And it had that salty flavor.
Yeah, I would prefer that you don't call my deceased grandmother a liar. So
I've been navigating around that.
That's okay.
Best I can.
Okay.
But I would say that the current buttery topping we use tastes fairly close to that.
Yeah.
And I know that Brady up in Holstein's using a different kind, and it really is interesting to see the different constituents feel for the kind of buttery popcorn you offer.
Right.
And so I still remember with the other popcorn butter when it first came in, because people don't like change, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you don't want to change the seats if you can avoid it. You don't want to change a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But the buttery topping you don't want to mess with. And it's funny. I was okay with the previous butter, like Brady's customers, right? I thought it was fine. But for some reason, they got in their heads that that was not okay. So we went back to the old buttered popcorn.
Thank you. And that voice you're hearing there is Doug Clough. And again, we're having a discussion on what's the frequency about small town theaters, single screen theaters in some of the towns around us. There's Lake City, about 90 miles east of Sioux City, then Ida Grove and Holstein, as we're talking with Doug and Brady here today. And I want to go back to, I'm guessing that people who work in theaters probably love movies. So tell me, what was your movie going experience like when you were, where were you raised and what was your movie going experience like? So Brady first.
Well, I'm actually from Holstein, so I've always gone to the theater there.
Okay.
When Fred used to own it, we'd go and watch movies all the time. The last one I remember would have been Kung Fu Panda, but he had the most uncomfortable seats I've ever been in. It's like, there's a piece of wood to sit on.
Yeah. So has the theater been modernized then?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Our seats are really nice now. You could take a nap in them if you want to. Yeah. And it's comfortable, and you get a screen that's, you can actually hear around you, not just one direct source of sound.
Yeah. And Doug, how about for you? What was your movie-going experience? Where were you raised?
I was raised in northeast Des Moines. And it's interesting because in a bigger town, you have pockets of what I call small towns. So I was raised in the Highland Park area. We did go to movies downtown to the River Hills. My movie-going experience is defined, I think, by a couple different experiences. My father worked for IBM and was in New York for a school. So my mother rounded us kids up and took us to see Sound of Music. Four boys to a musical. And I really objected, right? Because I was a boy, didn't think musicals were at, you know, where I wanted to be.
Yep.
And we went and we loved it. Absolutely loved Sound of Music. So I was proven wrong by my mother about a certain movie that I might enjoy. So right away, now I'm open to musicals, right? As being something really fascinating. And I just remember finding that extraordinary. Then let's switch gears. And my mom's out of town. My dad takes me to Poseidon Adventure with Shelley Winters. First movie I ever heard a swear word in, right? But lots of action. And that's back when swear words in a movie were a big deal. Anymore, you know, it's kind of what it is, right? Mm-hmm. Even on TV. But those things defined my experiences, as well as going to Star Wars 8 times at the River Hills in downtown Des Moines. And then our local theater, the Cinema 1 and Cinema 2, would pick up those movies after they left those bigger theaters. And so we'd go to the neighbor, you know, theater to see it a second time, just like you did with Nuremberg, right?
Yeah.
And so it was a different experience, a different size theater, different audio. Probably the seats weren't as nice as they were at the River Hills. But that's quite a, that's how I was really brought into the movie business, with the exception that my parents' first date was with the Ten Commandments, and I don't think I'd be around if they didn't go to that movie.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you, Doug. Again, that's Doug Clough. He's with King Theater in Ida Grove. I do want to give some context to other theaters. There are still larger county seat type towns like Storm Lake, Spirit Lake, Spencer. They still have movieplexes. They might have 3 to 5 theaters. And obviously, us here in Sioux City, we have a metro population of about 100,000 people. We recently lost one of our two multiplexes. Promenade Cinema closed about 4 months ago in late 2025. So that leaves the AMC in Southern Hills Mall. So some people might only have known bigger theaters. So, but just describe, what is it like? What is the experience like for moviegoers in each of your theaters with whatever amenities, whatever updates have happened? Go ahead first, Brady.
It's a much more personal experience. You have someone that's going to actually care about, like, oh, where are you from? Because if I don't recognize you from town, I'm always going to ask, like, where are you from? Because I like to know. But we have two updated bathrooms as well. They're very nice. We have hearing aids for people who need them. I think we have around 20 headphones that can be used. And then we do have the closed caption thing. We have to fix it because something happened with it and it doesn't want to show closed captions. But we do have those aids available. Mm-hmm. And there's an app available that if you need a movie translated to Spanish. Mm-hmm. I had to help a lady with that because she didn't speak any English. So I'm like, okay, I have to find a workaround for this because she would really like to watch this movie.
Right.
And so I helped her figure that out. And then she got to sit in the movie with one headphone in, and it read it back to her. It connects to the audio of the movie.
Okay.
And then repeats it back to her in her language.
What would you say would be the most recent, and we'll stay with you state, at the State Theater in Holstein, and we'll get back to you, Doug, here in a second. What would constitute a big crowd there? How many seats does it have, and what would constitute a big crowd?
We have 150 seats.
Okay.
And the last time we had a sold-out crowd would have been pre-COVID, and it was Peter Rabbit 2.
Okay.
And we sold over 150 tickets.
Okay.
We had to put in some folding chairs, and
yeah,
everyone enjoyed it on Easter.
Yeah.
But since then, I think our biggest ones would have been Top Gun Maverick, where we had, I think, crowds of over 100. Moana 2, Inside Out 2, both of them had crowds over 100. And so people had to find a spot, kind of sneak your way in. And But a usual crowd, maybe 20 to 30.
I was going to say, I can think of four times in the last 5 to 6 years. So I go about every year and a half, it seems to be. I saw the holdovers 2 years ago, loved it. And again, I was there at Nuremberg just the other day. But I would say I see typically 25 to 30 people. But when I go to Sioux City movies, I also typically see maybe 15 to 20 to 25. Mm-hmm. So the days of, certainly there's blockbusters out here, but you're okay to operate without being filled every time, is it correct?
We try our best.
Yeah.
We're currently trying to recover from a grant that went a little awry because we thought we spent enough, did not spend enough.
Okay.
But now we're getting back from that, and it's all going a little bit better than we had hoped.
Okay.
And our movies that we're showing now, we're really excited for. We actually had to talk to our booker because we were way too similar to the King. So we're like, okay, Frank, we can't do this. We have to differentiate so that we can get a crowd one time, then they can get a crowd. If we do it at the same time, no one's going to go to either of us. They're just going to go to the theater that they're used to.
Right. And again, I should remind people that your theater's about a dozen miles apart. So, So one more before I turn to you, Doug. How old is the theater, and why did it transition from a ownership to the community?
Well, it's a long history, actually. Okay. The building started to be a theater in 1944.
Okay.
It was owned by the Kugels, and then it's changed hands throughout the time, and then Fred had it, and then he just skipped town, and then they weren't open again for a while until I think it was 2014. We had a Save the State campaign.
Yes, I remember that. Okay, yes.
It was a really big project. The whole community came together, and then since then, we've been showing movies. We were first under the Holstein Development Authority,
okay,
which then turned into the Holstein Betterment Alliance.
Okay.
But we bought ourselves out from them, and now we're owned by a state theater board, the Holstein State Theater Foundation.
Okay. And those, all the people on the board are volunteers then, obviously,
yes,
too, as well. Okay. Okay. And now turning to you, Doug, for the King Theater in Idaho. First of all, how old is the King Theater? And I know at one point it was a Fridley chain, but just kind of take me through, some of the highlights of the ownership over the years and how it had to be moved into this model of more community-owned.
Sure.
Community operated.
You bet. The theater was built in 1914, so we've been around for about 111 years, getting into 112 years, if I'm doing the math right anyway. Mm-hmm. And so it was originally called the Princess Theater, and that was back during the silent film era. And so that rolled into about 1927 when things turned into the talkies, and you had Al Jolson and, the jazz singer, that kind of thing. And so initially it was built by Lee Horn in town, and that was the same person that actually orchestrated our hospital and some different things like that. So moving along, the theater became, got into the talkies, like I said, 1927, got into the the musicals, and the heyday was probably during the 1940s, during 50s, that kind of thing. We actually had a donor who gave $5,000 to the renovation because she remembered going home from the musicals and singing and skipping all the way. And all she asked for her $5,000 was her initials put in the back of the concession stand because she worked there back in the 50s. And I thought that was fantastic. So anyway, that's it moved to Fridley ownership in 1954. Became the King Theater in the 20s. That's when Frank King bought it. And we've been the King Theater ever since. And so, again, Fridley owned it for the most number of years.
And Fridley, I should say, Fridley is a chain for much of Western Iowa. The Lake City, which before it converted to a community-run, that was a Fridley Theater. Denison.
Cherokee.
All over. Yeah. Or Fridley.
We were fortunate enough. I went to also write on the side, and I ended up going to Des Moines. I met Bob before he passed away. He was something like 97 at the time. Great guy. He ended up giving a nice donation to the theater, which was wonderful. Came to the theater twice, which was a great thing to see him there. Like I said, he passed when he was 101, but left behind, I think, 22 theaters, 100 screens, you know, in Iowa, Nebraska. You know, the big thing that was with him when he had our theater in the Lake City Theater was that he'd make these brick walls with cascading water. You know, you had this feeling of calm when you came into the theater. And so he was quite a character. And he owned our theater for well over almost 30 years, I believe. And Fred Saunders bought it in 1982. And you know, you talk about the heyday of a theater is that that's about, you get starting in that VHS tape era, that these guys to survive had to rent, you know, VHS tapes and the big machines out. I would say that's when our theater started to struggle a little bit. I moved to Ida Grove in 1989. It was nice to have the theater open then. We still were able to see movies, sometimes first-run movies. My daughter had her first date at the King Theater. And so it was hard to see things over time start to degrade. And I would say our theater was pretty inactive starting around 2010.
Okay.
And that was due to, it was just hard to keep up, very expensive. The roof had infiltrating with water. The seats were bad because you know, it had the moisture inside there. And then on top of that, the technology changed from analog film to digital technology. I think our projection unit ran somewhere around $65,000. So if you are an owner like that owner was, you have to start to say, is it worth it for me to do all these upgrades?
Right.
And can I do them and still support a family? That's where it becomes difficult, I think, for these single screen theaters. These people used to be able to support a family on a either only one or maybe two or three single screen theaters.
Right.
And then it became darn impossible to do that. If you think about the advent of streaming and whatnot, you have to have a multiplex, and I think, to make money. And then you also have to diversify the kind of food you offer. Mm-hmm. And then there's all kinds of things you have to do that we as a foundation don't have to do in a small town theater.
Okay.
So for us, it was like Brady's situation. We became a foundation, a 501c3. We became pretty much a community theater with a lot of different, we tried to diversify as much as we could for entertainment. We tried to retain this social equity, right? Anybody can go to the theater. Social equity became very important. Hmm. It wasn't just, you know, a certain echelon of the community that could go. Everybody could go because our ticket prices were low. We try to do things as much as we can with sponsorships and our businesses support us. And that's the model that we really have come into.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of taken off. I'm not sure if it's in a different direction you're looking
for. Absolutely. I love the history of that. And thank you, Doug, for explaining that history of the King Theater in Ida Grove. That was very interesting. And we'll take a break and we'll be back for more on What's a Frequency. Now back for this episode of What's the Frequency. We're talking about smaller theaters, single screen theaters in Western Iowa, Northwest Iowa. There's one in Ida Grove. There's one in Holstein. There's one in Lake City and other places as well. And we have Doug Clough from the King Theater in Ida Grove and Brady Meyer with the State Theater in Holstein who are here as my guests on What's the Frequency. So thank you. And Doug, there was a few things that you said that I want to lead me into my current questions. You mentioned social equity or social capital. I'm not sure the exact phrase, but so I often heard that in smaller town Iowa, if you don't have a school, if your population of your town is dropping and you no longer have a school, that's a big death knell. What is the value of a theater in a smaller town?
You know, there's several different values I think I would attribute to having a theater in a small town. First of all, it brings people together to talk about something that is unifying in a way, mm-hmm. and that is the movie experience. So whether you're talking about a movie that's coming up or you're in church the next morning talking about the movie you saw, it brings people together to talk about something of importance. So I think that's one thing it does. The other thing it does is that it unifies your business community.
Mm.
I mean, we've have folks that will for their, you know, Christmas gifts, et cetera, they'll give out passes to the King Theater or gift cards, that kind of thing. It's something they want to treat their employees to. We also have businesses that have given a great deal of money to the renovation and also to the live events because they want to have their people have something to do in town. So it's an entertainment value in essence. I said the social equity, it's something that I stole from a magazine article that I read some time ago, but essentially it's something for everyone. You know, when you include having current movies at what is pretty a low price, you know, for both Holstein and for us compared to a bigger town,
yes.
when you're getting popcorn at lower prices than you are in bigger towns, candy and soda, all of that stuff at a lower price where people don't have to drive, you're also aiding them economically in a way. They can get entertainment and they're not spending a ton of money. At the same time, though, it does put them at restaurants in your town. So now you've got that kind of value. So people want to maybe go out and have a bite to eat before they go to a movie or to, you know, a free movie Monday. So there's a number of different kinds of value. And Brady probably has other ideas than I do, but those are the things that come to mind as far as why I think a theater is greatly important. But plus the fact that you have a long-term memory of different things. If you think back to my story on Sound of Music or, you know, Poseidon Adventure, my daughter having her first date at the King, now you've got part of a fabric of your life story surrounded movies with movie experiences. So that's the value I see there.
Thank you. And then for you, Brady Meyer, at the State Theater in Holstein, how close did it come to where the state maybe was not going to come back? And then what is the value of the state to Holstein now that it is flourishing again?
So when we were doing the campaign to save the state, we were taking as many donations as we could. I was not really a part of it at that time because I was still in high school. So I just kind of got to see it from afar, like, wow, they're really doing a lot for this theater that it's been closed for a while because I loved going to see movies there. And then when they started up again, it was like, it felt like the town had kind of had a resurgence.
Okay.
It felt like people could go out and, you know, hang out with people, be like, oh, hey, do you want to go see a movie tonight? Sure. I actually had my first date with my fiance there. Mm-hmm. And so that's a happy memory I will always remember. Mm-hmm. And I always bring it up to her. I'm like, how much of that movie do you remember? She's like, not much. But it's just the importance of people have memories there. And there's so many people that will come like, oh, I used to come here in the 60s. I want to come see it again, see how it looks now.
Right.
People love to do that. And a lot of community engagement, a lot of people will go to Backdraft before the movie. And they're like, oh, no, I ate a full dinner.
This is a restaurant in Holstein?
Yep.
Okay.
They serve some really good pizza.
Okay.
But they'll come in and be like, oh, I don't know if I can eat any popcorn.
Yeah.
And then they inevitably buy popcorn because they're still hungry for that at least.
Right.
But it's just such a nice thing that people can go out and do. And there's a variety of things that you can watch. There's never a time where it's like we have the same kind of movie a lot of the time.
Yeah.
We like to switch it up. So that way a family can come one weekend or you can bring a girlfriend the next weekend or just come by on your own.
I think one of you guys had a conversation about people in the lobby talking about seeing the patrons who are at a movie. Well, where are you from? So, but just tell me, what is the, how far out do you draw? Like, give me examples of where people from what towns come to the King in Ida Grove, Doug.
You know, we really do well in Ida County and also in Sac County. And I think those are our two main counties, mainly because our school district also extends over to Sac County. I would say that when it comes to live events, we extend out a little further than that, a little farther than that, and we draw people in just because those are live events versus a movie. And we've had people come from Sioux City that have seen our advertising and whatnot, maybe like the band that we had in. We had Richie Lee in the Fabulous 50s. He just got inducted into the Iowa Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Weary Ramblers. They're a blues duo. They just got an International Blues Award. So people hear about those folks, and they will see it on their website, and then they'll come to see them at our theater because they're not playing anywhere else close. So, but I would say that, generally speaking, we really do feed well on the Ida County and Sac County areas. And then we broaden out from that. We are getting quite a following from the Crawford County area because we started a film festival in July. We have a shorts film festival. It's July 18th this year. And the folks that actually operated out of Manning, and they're looking for a theater to call home for that. So now we've extended that base a little bit south.
And I have lost track. Does Denison have a theater currently?
They do not.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they're struggling You know, with when I first came in '89, you know, the Donna Reed Theater and the foundation and all that was going great guns, you know. And I think that they're struggling to get that. There's a resurgence and a desire to have all that come back, but I think they're struggling with that right now. Mm-hmm. So I think they've. That's the reason we're seeing more people at the King Theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one thing I want to do with this show, because not everybody who listens or hears this is necessarily knows all where the location of all these small towns are, but Denison would be about 25 miles south of Ida Grove, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, and then for you, Brady, what's the area of draw? I know when I was there, there was a woman from Cherokee, which is about 15 miles north, something like that.
That's actually, we get a lot of people from Cherokee.
Okay.
The King goes south, we go north. Okay. And then we actually get a lot of people from Correctionville and places like that, because I know a lot of people from Correctionville. We do the petting zoo too, so I know a lot of people that they'll just come because they're like, oh yeah, we know Brady's going to be there. It's like, that's kind of a reason I like to be there a lot, because people know that they'll see me and it's like, oh yeah, you come talk to me. It's okay. I'm very talkative.
Yeah. So we're talking like a 25-30 mile radius, would you say?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Correctionville would be about,
I think, 15. The farthest someone has come from was Vermilion, South Dakota.
Sure.
They came for Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I was so confused because I'm like, did my post really get that far? And they were the best. I was like, this is awesome. Thank you for coming.
And for what it's worth, Brady, the people that I know in my friend circle who go to state, my mother from Kingsley, people from Washed Up, Pearson, et cetera, and definitely Correctionville, as you've mentioned. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get into maybe two more questions here on what's a frequency on the community-run small-town theaters in Northwest Iowa. You had mentioned a couple times of the fair, or not the fair, but the content of the movies that you're offering. So how you describe wanting to make it diverse, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I think of a director that I love, who is Wes Anderson, who is kind of known for quirky and, you know, out of the box. Yeah. But I saw Isle of Dogs there in 2018, and I remember saying I was so excited when I saw that Isle of Dogs. I had missed it during its run, very short run in Sioux City. Mm-hmm. Wait, it's at the state. I can go to, and so anyway, thank you. You weren't there at that time. But
I actually remember that.
That
movie. Yeah. I loved it. I remember the poster. That was a really good movie, actually. Mm-hmm.
So what are you trying to do with the breadth of what you're offering?
So we try to offer some of those unique films that you're maybe not going to see other places, or if it's like Nuremberg, that came out in November. Mm-hmm. We were showing it in January, and we still had people wanting to come see it.
Yes.
But then there's also those first run movies that people really want to see. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to open Iron Lung, which is a movie by Markiplier, a YouTuber, which is one of my favorite YouTubers, and I've been listening throughout that, I think 2 years he's been editing it. I'm just like, no, this is something that Holstein would really benefit from, because it'll bring people from around the area. There's not that many theaters that are showing it. I think Sioux City is, and then Orange City. Otherwise, it's like, that's a big distance away when you could just come to Holstein. We have a lot of seats.
Yeah, and I want to mention again for someone who missed it earlier in the show, what you do on Mondays, Doug, is people can essentially pick the movie and sponsor the movie. Is that correct? And is it Free Movie Mondays? Am I saying that right?
Right. Yeah, okay. We've been doing Free Movie Mondays for, this is our third year. And one thing I often like to say to folks is that you almost have to do a program for 3 years to really know what kind of success you're going to have. If you stop doing something the first year because you have a lower attendance than what you expect, then you haven't given enough chance. Hmm. So Free Movie Mondays, we're into our third year. It's $200 for sponsorship. The folks give me two or three movies that they'd like to see. And the reason I always ask for two or three is that there are some studios like Disney, 20th Century Fox, Searchlight, a number of these studios that will not let you license their movie. And so there's only so many you can license. And so we really do our best. The good news is, though, is there's a lot of great content from like Paramount and a number of Warner Brothers, those folks, that we don't have any issues getting all of our Free Movie Mondays put together. So we go late October around Halloween. We go through the end of March, and we actually have two more now going into April because the program is so popular. Mm-hmm. So basically at $200, it gets a public viewing experience, but you also get to pick your film. Mm-hmm. And then that covers the license, it covers our payroll. Honestly, it's one of our best programs because it's something that most people can do. So it's not like we're asking the big money we get for live events. This is what I call the working man's program in a way, mm-hmm. and for two different reasons, is that a lot of people can afford the $200 sponsorship and want to have something seen on the big screen. The other reason it is because we have people that, you know, maybe have a limited income, but they can go to the movie that way and mm-hmm. see it on the big screen and get out and enjoy it with other people. So it's been immensely popular. We get attendance anywhere from around 25 to, we've shown Secondhand Lions two or three times, immensely popular film with Robert Duvall, Michael Caine. Oh my gosh, we get 75, 80 people every time we show that movie. So we've been really happy with the response with that.
I actually have something to bounce back on that.
Yeah, sure.
We took lead on that. You had that idea. We're now doing it on Sundays. We're doing our free movie series, and we're like, wait a second, you guys have been doing so good. We're like, let's give that a shot. And yeah, Secondhand Lions, we've shown it 5 times. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to show it, but we just don't have the time for it.
Right.
But now we have, next Sunday we have The Mummy Returns. And so we do $250 sponsors just because some of those renting costs are kind of high, mm-hmm. especially for the bigger named movies. But then we're going to do a classic one in February with the Cherokee Community Theater. They're doing Arsenic and Old Lace. And so we're going to show the movie so that people can see the movie and then the play in March.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I'm actually going to be in that play, too.
I bet people will appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's my number one. And I have one final question here, and I'll move to that. But this reminds me of, I have this, I go to a lot of movies, and I have this discussion with my friends. So I have a big blind spot. Like, I know, everybody knows what the classic, you know, the critically acclaimed movies are from past decades, you know, Casablanca and On the Waterfront and things like that. And when I tell my friends that I have not seen those, and they say, well, how have you not seen those? I say, how would I have ever have seen those? I was not born when they came out.
Yeah.
And, but what if there was nothing else that existed in today's theaters, if bringing back these old class, like a Casablanca or something like that, I would be there right every single time. So I'll plant that seed with you guys, I guess. So, and before, and as the final question on this, what's the frequency with Doug Clough from Tink Theater in Ida Grove and Brady Meyer from State Theater in Holstein. Doug had mentioned the period in the early 80s when the first kind of movie chains were getting kind of cramped, and that was the arrival of VHS that people could watch in their homes. I also am worried and want to get your impressions of streaming and how that impacts. And just my bias, I would lament and be crushed the day when movie theaters did not exist. So what do you guys see as the future with streaming, how that impacts viewership in the theaters, et cetera? What thoughts do you have about that?
It hurts. It really hurts, especially with, which studio was Warner Brothers being picked up by Netflix. We're throwing it around like, oh, what if we just do a limited runtime of like maybe 5 weeks and then that's it? It's like, that's a lot of money out in the theaters. We don't make anything then.
Right.
So then we'll have to go to those other studios. It's like, will you let us have it longer, or will it like be out longer in theaters? Like Nuremberg came out in November, showed it in January. With Netflix's thing, we couldn't do that. It'd just be impossible.
Yeah, part of our struggle, I think, is that when we get a film, often if we get it the first week, we have to have it for 2 weeks minimum. Okay. Sometimes Disney
you're required to have it for
required,
2 weeks.
Required, right. Okay. Disney sometimes will say 3 weeks. And in your single screen theater with a small population, it's hard to maintain any kind of momentum more than 1 week. Sometimes you can do it for two. Mm-hmm. And if it's an exceptional film, like Twister's brought in, you can go three. Doesn't happen very often. And so that's the struggle that we have, is that we don't have three different, you know, theaters that we, or three different screens, excuse me, that we can continually put content in and hold some in longer than others. So what we have to do is we have to do a dance with streaming. And what I mean with the theaters is that we have to think about, okay, this may be out in streaming that week. So like, for instance, Nuremberg, when it came out for streaming, and most things in streaming, they'll let you rent it, but it's for $25 to rent it or $20 to rent it for streaming. So that's still okay with us because our ticket prices are so low that people can get the big screen experience and see it during that time frame. But you really have to pay attention, is that I don't want to show a movie that comes out on Prime, for instance, Amazon Prime, because that's free to see at home. I don't want to show that in my theater at that time. So I have to continually watch the opening dates and the closing dates. And so I don't know about Brady, but I know for me, I left that in the hands of my movie buyer, and that's a mistake. Not that my movie buyer is bad. It's that I got to know what's happening with my population and the kind of films my folks want to watch. And again, do that dance not only with the streaming people, but even with the kind of content. It's like Brady was talking about. I don't want to run all kinds of R-rated films in a row because I'm going to lose a portion of my audience and interest in my community. So I have to keep in mind what I can show, when I can show it, and when people want to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Like the thing with Frank, he's got over 2,000 theaters he has to keep track of and buy films for. So sometimes it's just copy-paste. Here, you guys can all have this. And it's like, okay, my community doesn't like this kind of movie, though. Can we actually not show that? He'll try to talk me out of it sometimes, but other times it's like, no. Mm-hmm. I understand what my community wants. They really like anything Angel Studios. They will come out so much when one of those movies comes out. There's, I think, one coming out soon. That's how you get at the people, is you have to pay attention to your community. Mm-hmm. You can't just let a guy at a big city be like, you should do this one. I'm like, no, we shouldn't.
Yeah. So it sometimes is a little tough. I think you want to be diverse in a way. But like Brady had mentioned, Angel Studios, they always do the feel-good movies that are either some kind of faith-based movies. Mm-hmm. They tend to do very well in the rural areas. But I don't think I want to be one-dimensional and show all Angel Studios movies, right? I know that I've got to make money, though, so it's important I show a good share of them if I can. Mm-hmm. So, and certainly family movies. There's a movie coming out called Goat. It's an animated film where it's an actual goat that becomes the greatest of all-time basketball player. That'll do very well. It's a family movie animated. Mm-hmm. And so you have to pay attention to those kinds of things. And at the same time, you know, Holstein's running Iron Lung. That's cutting-edge stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a YouTuber kind of thing. That's getting into the next generation of movie watchers. And I got to get better at that. You can tell he's much younger than I am.
It's been wonderful to have you guys bounce off of each other. This has been a wonderful show. And that will be a wrap for this edition of What's a Frequency. So on small towns that have movie theaters, my guests were Doug Clough of the Ida Grove King Theater and then Brady Meyer from the State Theater in Holstein, Iowa. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And as we move into a third year for this show, thanks for being a part of our station as we move every day to tell the stories about Siouxland that inform, entertain, and expand the mind. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next week. What's a Frequency airs on Fridays at 10 a.m. and again on Sundays at 2 p.m. Make sure you also check out a few of our Siouxland public media music shows that air at 10 p.m. We have Hip Hop Chronicles on Thursdays, Mixtape Dance Party on Fridays, and 10 o'clock Blues on Saturdays. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Brett Hayworth.